Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
Thanks to a couple of songs to work on with you this morning. We're finishing up our old school series today. We'll begin another series next week, but I trust you've enjoyed the song studies that we've been digging into, the flashbacks maybe to some songs that were long before your time. One of the songs today is long before your time, but you're still familiar with it. Some of those songs are brand new we've gone through, just teaching some new music. We've done that Wednesday night as well. If you've missed out on Wednesday night, we've been doing that in there. Other songs, in fact, we did Our Father Wednesday night. That was the song we worked on together and talking about the Lord's Prayer and making that our prayer and how prayer changes us more than it changes God. There's a whole sermon there. I just preached it actually Wednesday. So anyway, our goal has been to encourage, to teach, and to engage worship with our full focus. That's the idea, is to make sure that we're encouraging you, we're teaching these doctrines, these thoughts, these principles, these concepts, because the world around you will give you some doctrine. They will indoctrinate you. They will tell you how things are according to them. We want to tell you how things are according to Him, because that's what really matters, right? If you don't think that's the case, then just tell me where your Zubaz pants are from the 90s, because that was a big deal, but they're gone. Thank you, Jesus, right? Because you got some, don't you, Bob? You don't, okay, anyway, all right. But stuff comes and goes. Stuff changes and moves. It's different. There's seasons. There's different things that happen. Musical styles, different things like that. That all comes and goes, but we want to make sure we're focusing on the Word of God and what that says about life, so that we know that when difficulties come, we're dealing in truth, right? Not just in how we feel, because you might get caught on a week or a bad day. You might get caught in the midst of a moment that's more than you can handle on your own at the moment, and you might just decide to react instead of respond according to who you know God is. And so it's important that we get these songs stuck in our heart and stuck in our spirit. Throughout the week, we're singing, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Those thoughts getting into our heart, getting into our spirit, will help us live this life the best way. So I hope you found yourself thinking and humming and singing these songs throughout the week. I hope you're inspired to speak out on your own that is original praise to God, not just borrowing the words of somebody else who's a songwriter, but letting God hear from your heart. I've said it before. If I can give my wife cards all I want to, but if I don't ever express my own thoughts to her, I'm just borrowing someone else's. Right? So it's good that I verbalize that out to God in prayer and praise and in worship. That I share something original right from here. It might not sound like Hallmark, but that's not what He's after. He's after a relationship with me. He wants to confer or interact with me. He wants to experience that. So I hope you've begun to meditate and engage our worship times with new focus and appreciation. That when we're singing, we're not just singing to get you up and let you not sit down for a while. That's not the goal. We're not just doing songs to break up the moment, to segue. That's not why we do music here. We're doing music to focus you in on the content of who God is so that it changes your life. That's why we're doing that. That's why we've done this old school series of worship. Next week, we'll begin a three-part series unpacking the mission of this church, which is to connect, grow, and serve, right? We're going to dig into that next week. Oh, I don't need to do the sermon. You already have it. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to dig into that on the concept of mission creep. Everybody say mission creep. Now, this is not a creepy person that we're going to point out to you, okay? So don't get weirded out by that. It's not a creepy mission. It's a mission creep. The idea of the concept is that after a while, you start out on a target, but if you don't pay attention, after a while, you can get to the side of that target, right? And you can get a little bit sidetracked, and it can become about maintenance or some other issue and something else. And all of a sudden, before you realize it, you're way over on one side instead of in the middle of the road where you should have been, right? It happens when you're driving sometimes, right? Nobody ever looks at their cell phone while they're driving, right? You look up and you're like, whoa, hey, I'm not, yeah, okay. So it's important that mission creep doesn't happen to the church, because the church gets blamed for a lot of stuff that we probably shouldn't have been doing in the first place, because it's not a part of our mission, right? If we were doing stuff that Jesus said to do, we wouldn't get accosted for things that we made up on our own and we're adding to the mission. So it's important that we stay on track, we stay on focus on that. We don't get distracted. We don't lose our target there. So we'll talk about that next week. If you know somebody who's had issues with the church because of a personal experience, because of things that have gone wrong in their background with church, or something they saw the church on TV or the church universal on the internet or whatever their issue is with God, I challenge you to invite them. My pastor said you need to come to church with me this week. Why? He just did. I'm just doing what he said. It's okay. Blame it on me. I'll take it, right? The idea is that if they've got issues with the church, I have reason to suspect that it's not because the church is wrong. It's because somebody in the church did them wrong. Or because they got involved in a church that was not on mission. They were in a church that was all about fellowship, or a church that was all about music, or something that got them sidetracked and off target, and they missed the full point of why the church exists. So we're going to dig into that. We want to reset that foundation for us and make sure we've got it right. So if you know somebody, bring them to the series. It's on point. It's on target. It's truth, and it's live next Sunday morning. Be here or be an idiot. I'm just saying it, okay? Just... whoa, somebody's like, that's too far, Pastor. Okay, anyway, I'm square. I'll call you that. That's easier. Okay. All right. Now, we've taken on some songs that have been newer. We've taken on some songs that are older. Today, we are going to do both. You're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be two sermons. It's going to be twice as long. No, it's going to be okay. A classic hymn that has an overwhelmingly tremendous backstory inspired a new generation to echo the sentiment of that song. So it's two songs, same title, same theme, but they're borrowing a chorus. They actually share a chorus. We'll talk about that in a moment. The newer song was inspired by an artist that was worried about her house. Christine DeMarco was the one who performs this song, or well known for this, and she shares a story about a couple of different things that inspired the song, but one of them particularly was she and her husband were looking to buy their first house. Anybody ever been in that situation? Looking for your first house? And, oh man, that's stress, right? Trying to figure out, oh, are we going to get this one? Oh, we have to buy it. And the realtor's like, you got to put your bid in on it quick, or somebody's going to buy it out from underneath you. You better bid high, because I want your commission. I mean, you want to get the house, right? Yeah, whatever. Anyway. So all that stuff's going on, the pressure, the tension, you're looking for just the right house, you got these dreams and ideas, and you're shopping, and she's stressed about this house situation. She's getting overwhelmed, and she's getting worried about it. And so she's telling God her problems, and she's in prayer, and she's saying, God, I need this house, and I don't know what's going to happen with it. They wanted the right price, they wanted to get it before somebody else did, all of that stress. In prayer, God whispered to her this phrase, and it's a slide, so you can go there. Unless you've already been there. You might have already been there. Anyway. The wind and waves still know my name. God whispered that to her heart as she was in prayer about her stressed out house situation. He said, the wind and waves still know my name, Christine. And she was like, oh, yeah, okay. All right. And she started thinking about the scripture that draws from. She said she could almost hear God laughing, like this task would beat him. You ever been underwhelmed by a task? Like somebody asked you to do something that was so simple, you were like, why didn't you ask a long time ago? You ever been in that situation? And they ask you like it was nearly impossible, and you're like, yeah, what? Like, sure, I just did it. It's over. Done. Right? I've done that for my kids before. Can you? Sure. Get stuff off the shelf, right? Can't reach it. I do that with my wife. She's short. Sorry. Anyway, she's like, no problem, right? What? And we're asking God for things sometimes, and God's like, sure, whatever. He's not overwhelmed by this. He's not defeated by it. He's almost laughing like, that was what you're worried about? Really? Because I've got this. The wind and the waves still know my name, he says. And he harkens back to the story of Jesus in the boat with the disciples in Mark chapter 4. And the disciples are there, and there's a storm comes up, right? And Jesus is in the stern of the boat. He's sleeping. He's snoozing, right? And they are freaking out. They're going to die. The storm is tossing them around, and they're like, we are going to drown right here in the boat. And God doesn't even care because Jesus is sleeping, and he doesn't even care. And so they wake him up, right? They're like, Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you even care? And so what does Jesus do? Let's look at the story. Mark, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, shut up. That's the 21st century version. Sorry. Quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And then he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Why are you guys so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Wouldn't that overwhelm you a bit? That storm that was going through last night, anybody's dog freak out during the storm? Did anybody freak out during the storm? Like, oh, electrical, oh, I'm going to die. Right? Imagine just somebody walking outside and going, stop it! And would that freak you out a little bit? I would be impressed, right? Like the wind is howling, the color is like weird greenish yellow color going on, and there's lightning happening everywhere, and he just goes, stop! And it all stops. I mean, he didn't turn off the wave machine at the theme park, right? That's not what happened. This is like nature says, oh, my bad, and ducks back, right? He speaks to the wind and the waves, every element, the things that no man could ever control, he speaks to, and they obey immediately. So he tells this author when she's writing, when this song was on her heart and this trouble of finding a house, he smiles to her and says, the wind and the waves still know who I am. They still know my name. Don't worry. Don't worry about this. That's the authority that Jesus has, even today. This song prays earnestly, let go my soul and trust in him. The wind and waves still know his name. Through it all, my eyes are on you. There's some more biblical account there, right? Of Peter walking on the water. Newsflash, Peter walked on water. We all give him a bad rap because he sunk, right? How many steps have you taken on water lately? Thank you very much. All right, so he was walking on water, and he took his eyes off Jesus, looked at the storm, and he began to sink. Through it all, my eyes are on you, the song says. We've got to tell ourselves that. We've got to reassure ourselves that. We've got to proclaim that from our soul, right? Through it all, Lord, my eyes are going to stay on you. Because the wind and the waves still know your name. Our souls can trust in him. When he miraculously saves the day, we can trust in him. But the problem is, or whether he miraculously saves the day, or when he says enough, and our days on this earth end. Like, wow, that took a dark turn. Well, see, the scripture tells us that we all act like it's not fair that or just that we have an end, but the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9:27 that it's appointed unto man once to die and then face judgment. These are temporary dwellings. We get so wrapped up in them, right? I'm literally wrapped up in this dwelling, right? I'm surrounded by skin and flesh and bone. I absolutely am. But we get so centered on this moment, this season, this experience, that we forget this is just a sample of eternity. This is a blip on the map of eternal existence. So at times God shows up in this moment and miraculously saves the day for us. The wind and the waves still know his name. There's other times where God says, you know what, that's enough. We're going on to the next phase of the story. Does that mean he's any less God? No. In fact, if we really got down to the bottom line, would we rather be here for 10 more years or would we rather be with him? I'm not saying I have a death wish, don't get me wrong, but I kind of do. Because I'm only here to get something done, and that's to get to him. Right? I mean, if I put too much stock on this, then I lose my focus, right? And I have to recognize my only goal, my ultimate goal is to get to him. Other goals that I add to it, they become other things that I have to serve. But the ultimate goal is to be with him, to be right with him. These two songs share the same name, and they literally share the same chorus. The classic hymn by the same name was written by Horatio Spafford in 1873. Anybody know who you're already onto the hymn? Anybody there? Okay, you're already there. All right, because you know the story. This is a well-known story. Many of you, this is just reiterating, so I'm not unlocking the secrets of history here. ABC News is not here to record it. It's been done. That's fine. But for some of us, this might be a new story to realize what happened here. This is a powerful hymn. Arose from a very difficult season of life. Tragedies overwhelming this man's life. Tragedies that, actually, when I put these songs side by side, I kind of laugh a little bit because she was worried about a house, and this man's heritage and legacy were on the line. What he experienced was so far greater than the stress of a house buying process. And that's why we get the words that he penned in this song. Let me tell you the story. In a span of about 5 years, he lost a son. His son died. Then he lost a fortune in the great Chicago fire of 1871. He had been, a bunch of real estate investments on Lakeshore Drive right there in Chicago and lost all of it in that great fire in Chicago. So financial difficulty, the overwhelming loss of all of that. He just lost his son. So a couple of years later, his family had plans to join a revival in Europe. Some evangelists that they knew were doing a revival in Europe, and they were going to go with them to Europe and do that. So he was going to take his four daughters and his wife, and they were going to go on a boat over to Europe. Well, he had some last-minute business stuff come up, so he sent his wife and daughters ahead on a boat. So they're going over, they're traveling the Atlantic to get to Europe. He's back behind finishing up business to join them soon. A few days into their journey, that boat, in happenstance, a tragic situation, collided with another vessel, and the ship sank in a matter of 12 minutes, taking the majority of the passengers down with it. His wife was found on a piece of wreckage, floating on a piece of wreckage, and their four daughters were lost at sea. He gets word a few days later, they finally get to England, the wreckage, those who survived, they get to, I'm not sure if it was England, but Europe. They get over to the other side of the ocean. They wire back. There's pictures on the internet, you can look at them, of the message that she wired. It says, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Mother's on a ship, it's sinking, and she loses her four daughters, and she's saved, and she would have gladly, as any mother, have given her life so that they could have made it, I'm sure. And then here's Dad back across the ocean, which this is, again, this is a long journey. This is a long trek in that day. This isn't hop on a flight and you're there. He gets the message, and he instantly begins to travel that direction, knowing that his wife has survived, and his four daughters are gone. He just lost a fortune a couple years ago, and his son was also gone. He's got five kids in heaven waiting for him. As they're traveling across the Atlantic, the captain of the ship or those who were in charge notified this passenger, Horatio Spafford, of the area where the ship collision had happened and where his daughters had drowned. And he's there over that portion of the water is where he took out a pen and paper and scripted the words of the song we look at today. If you're overwhelmed, you should be, as I am, because it's unbelievable. I cannot imagine. Can you? What words would have come to your mind? What thoughts would have come to your heart in that moment, having lost everything that he had lost, everyone that he had lost? He must have been gifted with a special gift of grace from the Lord, because he didn't turn on God, he turned to him. That's the critical nature of why we talk about a song like this, is because it's an example that we can follow. It reassures us in our difficulty, whether it's selling a house or buying a house, or whether it's the loss of loved ones, whether it's eternities at stake, or whether it's just what's going on this week in my life. No matter what, I can stop and say, it is well with my soul. Can you say that today? Is it well with your soul today? Or are you battling and fighting and arguing with God about the situations that you've encountered? Maybe even the situations that you possibly have brought on yourself through different decisions and choices that have happened in your life. Maybe they're decisions that were just handed to you. You didn't pick them. You would have never chose them, but they were stuff that just happened to you, and you are dealing with it. Are you dealing with it in a way that you are well with him, you are right with him? Or are you battling him over these details? Are you fighting? Are you pulling your direction instead of going the way he wants it to go? In his pain and in his grief, in that unspeakable moment, he wrote the words of the song that we're familiar with. The first verse says this: when peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. He's looking at the water where his daughter's drowned. I cannot fathom. But he had the resolve to say, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, is well with my soul. Whether all is good or whether it's the worst day of my life, am I right with God? Right? I mean, most of us are not facing tragedy like this guy's faced. We're probably facing issues more like what the other song's author about financial decisions and stresses that are real, but they're not that scale that he's dealing with. But we've got to stop and say, no matter what's going on, whether good or bad, I'm right with God. It's well with my soul. I'm going to make it. This isn't going to be what takes me down. Not this, not today. Not this day. Second verse: though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. This man was so familiar with Satan's attack, losing a son to illness, his four daughters. Isn't it interesting he used the word my helpless estate because of the estate loss that he had incurred in the fire? His helpless estate. We have no options unless God shows up. Amen, church? We really don't have an option unless God shows up, because it can all come and go so quickly. God sees our dilemma and he gets personally involved. Beautiful. Then Horatio has the fortitude to realize that the big picture here is that my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, not just a bit of it, but all of it, the whole of it, is nailed to the cross. I don't bear it anymore. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. In that suffering, in that difficulty, recognizing what really matters is that there's hope in Christ, that we are forgiven of our sins. Otherwise, that death is the end, but death is not the end. We talked about this a few weeks ago on Wednesday night. I got a little fired up. I'm about to again. Death has got nothing on us. You sound like a crazy person. I know. It's cool. Because death has nothing on us. It doesn't end there. You don't end at physical death. That's not the end. There's eternity awaiting you. There's this soul finally gets redeemed from this limited body. We're not stuck in that natural situation. We are supernatural beings living in a natural world for a season. Because God has created our soul, and it can be well with our soul. A man in deepest sorrow, writing about bliss. Do we share his insight that no matter the trouble, the forgiveness of sin is our joy and our peace? Now, here's something you might not know about the song. This song actually has 6 verses. He had a lot to say in the moment, I guess. 6 verses. Most of them are not known that well, or a few of them are not known that well. You only know probably 3 or 4, most of us. But here's a couple of the lesser known ones. For me, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll. If I am drowning at the bottom of the Jordan River, I'm good. Because I'm right with Christ. You're like, wow, that's kind of crazy. No, it's truth. Right? Right, church? This is truth. No matter the awful situation we are stuck in or enduring or going through, we have hope in Christ. That it's not the end. It's just a moment. And he'll take care of us. He's having one of those from now on moments. From this moment forward. Have you ever had one of those? God, from this moment forward, there's no looking back. You ever had one of those moments where it really got your attention? I would dare say his attention was fully grasped in this moment. And he says, I'm living for Christ from here on out. There's nothing else that's even going to rival me. No pang shall be mine, for in death as in life thou wilt whisper peace to my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. Whew! The sky, not the grave, is our goal. I'm not just trying to die. I'm trying to be with him. I got stuff to do. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. That's a trumpet. Don't get politically confused. The trumpet shall sound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Now, I can't hardly fault this man for asking God to hurry it along. How about you? I can't fathom the pain he's experiencing and the hope of reuniting with those daughters and son and everything that's going on. We all have lost loved ones. We all have those who've gone on before us, and we're excited about seeing them again. We're excited about seeing Christ. So, Lord, hasten the day. Bring it on, Jesus. That's what I'm all about. The clouds are going to be rolled back. When my faith becomes sight, it's not just something I believe for. I'm going to see it. It's going to really happen. He's telling God to hurry up just a bit. As I get less impressed with this world, less impressed with this life, I get more ready for heaven. How about you? As I experience the highs of this life, I got to skydive about 11 years ago. That was awesome. That was fun. I mean, jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, right? Just, whoo! Feeling your skin wrinkling and your eyes. Just awesome, right? But the more I do things like that, the more I go, okay, I remember literally in the air while skydiving going, as you hit like this, the top speed, right? You're just, you fall and then you're just falling for a while. And I was like, I remember it to this day. I remember I was like, oh, this is skydiving. Okay. I mean, I like looked forward to this so hard, right? And it was great. It was really fun. But at the same time, it was like, oh, okay. Like, check. It doesn't fulfill my soul. It was fun, but it's not what I was created for. It doesn't bless me in that kind of way. The more things I do in this life, the less impressed I am with this life, and the more I am ready for heaven. Amen? How about you? No digital technology glitches, right? Straight up to be with him. Excited about that. So this author's refrain or chorus is today's altar call. It's our response today. It is well with my soul. If the musicians would come help me out, we're going to close up this morning. Because you can't talk this song through, you got to sing it. I mean, we can talk it through, but we got to sing it when we're done. Through all of that pain, through all of that trouble, he remains determined to trust God. Here's the questions I've got to ask you today. Now, I know we're wrapping up, but everybody starts putting stuff in their purses and ladies getting their shoes back on and all that good stuff. But hold on. Hang in there with me. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? This is it. Are you there today? Are you at a place where you can say, it is well with my soul? Is that how and where you're living right now? Maybe you're in tragedy, or you're in pain, or you're in struggle. Maybe you're stuck in sin and problems resulting from it. Maybe you are just being handed consequences you never signed up for. You are in difficulty today. Maybe you feel like the sea billows are rolling. Maybe you feel like the ships have collided and we're going down. Maybe that's where you feel today. And it's okay to feel like that. But the real deal is it right with your soul or not? It's kind of black and white, isn't it, Pastor? Absolutely yes. Because no matter what, if your soul is right with God, then it really doesn't matter the details that come and go. They kind of just bounce. Because my soul is ironclad in him. Yes, those things hurt. Yes, life is difficult. Yes, things are struggles. Yes, there's pain of loss and there's hardships. I get it. I fully understand it. I hear. I sense it. I empathize. I've experienced some. I know. But ultimately, is it right with your soul or not? You can answer that today. Only you can answer that today. Your husband or wife really can't even answer it for you. Your kids can't answer it for you, nor can you answer it for your kids. It can be well for you today. It can also go really bad. It can go way wrong. If you turn on God, you turn against him, you lose your trust. You can really make a mess of yourself if you react from your pain and your fear. You really can. I want to warn you on that. You can make a mess of the situation if you're not grounded and rooted in your faith in Christ. So what will you choose today? If you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I don't have a relationship with God, but I need one. I realize that I have a need of it. I can't do this on my own. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do it. I need Jesus. I've tried it my own way. I need forgiveness. I need to walk in a relationship with Christ. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand and make eye contact with me? Anybody here? I didn't ask you to bow your heads. I'm sorry. You can do that if you'd like to. But the big deal is it right with your soul or not today? So raise your hand and just make eye contact with me. Pastor Steve, I need Jesus in my life today. I need him right now. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. Anybody here? Anyone here? All right, I see those couple of hands, yep. Anybody else? I need Jesus today. Here's what I want to offer to you today, the rest of us, as we sing this song. I want you to trust in God for healing, for restoration, for deliverance, for trust, for focus, for peace. What is irritating your soul today? I want to challenge you to put it in perspective and then trust it to God. The altars are open if you want to come pray. We're going to sing these two songs together because they go hand in hand. We're going to sing them together and then you can be dismissed. We're just going to worship the Lord together. If you want to come pray, somebody will come pray with you, I'm certain, as we worship the Lord together. If you'd stand, we're going to sing together.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.